let me just say, I've never held a microphone and read through my manuscript at the same time. So bear with me, I'm now up to 18-point font. Please join me in a moment of prayer. Gracious God, I ask that you, who are already here, enter into our hearts so that we may hear the good news and the hard news of what it means to witness death. And let us be open to what we are now called to do in this time, in this place, in this country, where there is still an ongoing entombment of your people. May we who are entombed be bold enough to come out, and may we who stand on the other side be ready to invite those who have come through. Amen. The title is Come Forth and Live. But having just come from a conference from the U.S. Campaign for Palestinian Rights, it said that we rise together. That also works. In our gospel story about Lazarus, Jesus comes late to Mary and Martha's home. 4 days late, Martha chastises him for not getting there sooner because he might have been able to do something to prevent their brother's death. If only you. I identify with this passage because we who are activists working on a just peace in Palestine heard about tragedies after they had occurred. So there was always this sense of deep sadness that if we'd been able to come earlier, done something more, signed more petitions, written more op-eds, attended more protests, we could have prevented this. If only we could have put more pressure on the United States to stop its flow of military aid, to have been more successful with our boycotts, divested more, just done more, period. If only. And because we care, like Jesus, we weep for our slain sisters and brothers, the children detained, tortured, or imprisoned, the families made homeless through home demolitions, or impoverished because their trees were uprooted or burned, like Jesus, we weep. When I was an ecumenical accompanier for the ecumenical accompaniment program for Israel and Palestine back in 2011, we would often arrive just after the olive trees had been destroyed, or a few hours after a village had been terrorized by a night raid by Israeli soldiers. We came after. And so we often wondered, what if we had been able to come before? Could we, in our magic EAPPI vests, have stopped the raid or saved the house? Our accompaniment came after the fact, and we often wondered if this coming at this time was enough. We had buckets of tears for what we saw or witnessed, and we wrote voluminous reports for the UN, but it never felt enough. The story of Lazarus reminds us that there is more. Palestinians have often told me that they identify with Lazarus, the entombed Lazarus. Once at the Seville Center for Liberation Theology, at a Thursday Bible study, I heard Omar say, "I am Lazarus. I feel entombed by this occupation. I can't move because of this very large stone." According to Naima Teet, the leader of that discussion, removing the stone is only the first step. The second step is to come out and risk being alive again and and free. Rise, Lazarus, come forth. It is not enough to roll away the stone if you don't come out and dare to live, said the thief. For the past 5 years in Palestine, I saw this part of the story enacted, mostly on Fridays, when after prayers, Palestinians marched in defiance of their entombment against the chains of the occupation, the illegal wall, confiscation of land, prisoners, or more settlements. I saw the youth as young as Ahed and her cousin Jana from Nabi Salah stand up to the soldiers invading their homes and land in defiance. I saw farmers continue to plant their olive trees when the armed settlers came to burn or destroy them. And like you who might have watched the news of the latest violence in Gaza, I saw the youth run to the fence to plant their flag and run back not to get killed by a sniper's bullet. Like David, I saw them sling rocks at heavily armed soldiers or tanks. I saw the Palestinians nonviolently resisting their entombment, their imprisonment. Lazarus rises every day in Palestine because to exist there and not lose your hope or humanity is indeed a form of resistance. Jesus does not weep, dear ones, because his good friend died and now stinks. He weeps because he entered the country of death and despair, which everyone believed in. Even Martha, dear Martha, didn't want him to remove the stone because the stench was so strong. So deep was her belief in death's finality. Jesus weeps for Mary and Martha and for all of us who live in the valleys and shadows of death. But this is not enough. We must come out and come forth. And finally, like Lazarus, still wearing his burial clothes, his bandages, we must come unbound. Lazarus is not free until he is unbound, and neither are we. Removing the stone is the first part, coming forward the second, but this is not enough unless we can unbind one another to walk in freedom. And for this, we need community. The community must unbind him from his death shroud. I have on occasion experienced the holiness of this moment too. When I saw the men denied access to Al-Aqsa, kneel on the ground in the street to pray together. Their prayerful defiance was an act of faith and hope, and it was done communally. When I watched my fellow activists, Palestinians, and internationals resist not only arrest, but retaliatory violence by sitting in the cup of the bulldozer to stop the demolition of a Bedouin village, I felt like I was watching the unbinding of fear and the binding of solidarity. When I see the people of the world, like you, put pressure on Israel to end the occupation, obey international law, and respect human rights, I see the entombed Lazarus struggling to become free. Our work for a just peace is a process just like this, removing stones, calling forth, unbinding ourselves from hopelessness and despair. So weeping is good. It shows you still have compassion. It is the right place to start, but it cannot end there. We must remove the stones that entomb us. This can be done individually or collectively or through faith, but it is up to the individual to step forth, to risk being alive in a culture that wants you dead. And make no mistake. Being Palestinian, whether in Israel or the occupied territories and East Jerusalem, whether Christian or Muslim, puts you at risk. And this is why the standard way I said goodbye to my friends was Masalame. Peace to you. Stay safe. Our work as peacemakers is to do what we can to roll away as many stones as we can, but only the Palestinian people themselves can walk out and define what sovereignty should look like. That means we don't get to decide that they must have a two-state solution or even a one democratic state. That is their decision to make. Our task is to assist in the unbinding, to stand with them, drink endless cups of tea, dance dake, plant or harvest trees. So dear ones, this is the good news. Our sisters and brothers who have been entombed will rise with or without us. The question is, where are we in the story? Are we standing there paralyzed by the force of our own weeping? Are we chipping or working away at the stone through our church resolutions, our endless calls to our elected officials? Or are we throwing stones of anger at the stone? Are we bowing our heads in despair or prayer? Are we entombed by our own problems, the demise of our own nation state, for the moral compass we once had or seem to have lost? Wherever we are on this journey, we are called to come forth and live in spite of our fears, stench, or shrouds. God calls each of us to come out of our tombs, and once out, to allow ourselves to be unbound, released or freed by our families, loved ones, or communities. And shackle free, no longer afraid of death, we can then put part of God's liberatory plan to call forth and unbind others. Blessed be this tie that binds. Let it be so. And let it begin with us, so that we may all rise together. Amen. Amen. I did.